Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. This morning we'll be looking at chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Continuing our study through the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find us on page 1030. This is Matthew chapter 5. Verses 33 through 37. Hear now the word of our Lord and Savior. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. But do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So ends our reading of God's word. Let us once again bow in prayer and seek his blessing. Our gracious God, we do, Lord, thank you for these words. And we pray that as we look at them, that you would guide our hearts and our minds, and that you would grant us, Lord, an understanding of your truth, and that, Lord, you would inscribe this truth upon our hearts. And we do pray, Father, that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak your word clearly this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Have you ever stopped and wondered why we have contracts? You know, why do we have contracts? Why do we have to sign all of these pieces of paper? You know, just a few weeks ago, Alicia and I, by God's good grace, were able to purchase a used minivan. And we had to sign paper after paper, putting our signature upon it. And I've heard that when one buys a home, it's even worse. There are stacks and stacks and stacks of paper, and I can only imagine what it must be like for someone that would like to adopt a human being as their own child, and the paperwork that must be signed, and the contracts that can be made, and basically the oaths that must be made, the vows that must be taken. And why do we have these things? Why do we need to have them? You know, some people that maybe were younger many, many years ago could recall a day when a simple handshake or a simple verbal agreement was enough. And that was all that had to be done. It was oftentimes remembered and romanticized. I wish we could go back to those days. But we have to sign contracts because as, you know, we have progressed as a society and people began going back upon their word, they needed to have something permanent, a permanent record that could be turned to, that someone could say and hold up their paper, look, no, you signed this, and so you must follow through. Well, Jesus is addressing this idea here. He's addressing this issue in these verses that we have before us in dealing with the taking of an oath or the taking of a vow. And the theme that we're going to be looking at as we look at these verses is to let our yes and no, or that our yes and no is our oath. For God witnesses every word. That our yes and no is our oath. For God witnesses every single word. We're going to be looking at this in 3 points. Again, you have heard that it was said. And then secondly, you do not actually need to take an oath. And thirdly, for God witnesses every yes and no we utter. And so first of all, Jesus begins this section of verses by saying, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. And to recall to mind, Jesus in these verses is giving examples of how he is upholding the law, and he did not come to abolish it. And in these verses, he is showing how he does uphold it and how it is to properly be interpreted. Well, as Jesus talks about here and then goes on, you have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. There's no real specific reference that Jesus is here quoting. But he is quoting something that we find through the pages of the Old Testament. And three examples of this would be, first of all, in Leviticus 19, verse 12. There we read, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord." We also read in Numbers 30, verse 2, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And then thirdly, in Deuteronomy 23:21, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty." Now, these verses seem to clearly promote the idea of taking a vow or taking an oath. So how then do we look at them in light of what Jesus is doing here? Recalling to mind that Jesus is correcting a false interpretation of what the law was saying. Well, there was one commentator that I thought was really helpful. His last name is Hendrickson. He describes here in these verses, using the verses in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy as a basis, and what he describes as probably a differing emphasis, an incorrect emphasis that had been being taught in by the Pharisees in Jesus' day that he is instructing against. So I'll read these verses again. And first of all, I'll give what he calls the Pharisees' emphasis. Leviticus verse would read this way, as the Pharisees would have emphasized it, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of the Lord your God." And the Numbers verse, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath, to bind himself by a pledge." And then the Deuteronomy passage, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it." And so what the Pharisees had done is they had emphasized in those verses the fact that a vow was made to the Lord. And that was the emphasis that was laid. But as Hendrickson calls it, the divine interpretation is what Jesus is bringing us back to. And if we look at those verses and what he calls the divine emphasis, Leviticus would read, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of the Lord your God." If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. And then lastly, in Deuteronomy, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require." See the difference in emphasis there. Pharisees emphasizing the actual name of the Lord, whereas Jesus, in the divine emphasis, is more on the idea of not swearing falsely, of keeping your word, and not backing down. So it is an emphasis on being truthful, fulfilling what you are saying you would do, and not changing it, not backing away from it, but actually following through and fulfilling it. And so, first of all, and as Jesus is correcting the teaching here of the Pharisees, and he at the same time is instructing his disciples of how his people are to conduct themselves, what we learn first of all is that as the people of God, we are to be known as being truthful. We're to be characterized by being truthful. That is what people are to think when they think about the people of God. If they hear that someone is a Christian, the first thought in their mind should be, well, I can trust what this person is saying because it is truthful, and they'll follow through with it. This leads us then to our second point. You do not actually need to take an oath. Jesus goes on after saying, "You have heard that it was said of old." He then in verse 34 says, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." So as Jesus then moves forward in his teaching, what he is doing in these verses is he is counteracting the large amount of teaching that the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of his day through the years had added to the laws concerning taking a vow. See, the first point, as we looked at the emphasis between what Jesus is emphasizing and what the Pharisees emphasized, it's important to understand that because as they interpreted it, if you didn't make a vow to the Lord, as their emphasis was, then if you broke it, it wasn't a big deal. You can make a vow to something else, and someone could say, well, that was just, you know, to my own head, so I don't have to keep that. And that is what he is contradicting here in these verses. Basically, as long as God's name wasn't actually used, someone wasn't held and bound to actually keep that law. And so as there was these large amounts of regulations and rules governing what an oath was, which oaths had to be kept, which vows had to be kept, what they're to be vowed to, and the various steps and volumes written in the literature of the day about this process and what a vow or an oath is or and how it should be kept or not kept. What Jesus is doing in these verses is he's streamlining the process. He's whittling it down to a very simple rule. The yes and a no, ultimately, as we'll get to in the next point. But the way we can illustrate this, as I was thinking about it, is if you consider the tax laws of our country and the volumes that have been written and the way they're almost incomprehensible, at least to me, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone would just agree and decide that they would just go to a simple percentage and just say, you know what, if you, as a citizen of this country, you need to pay this percentage of your income to the government so that we can run. That makes me makes perfect sense. And, you know, I always think that if God can run a kingdom on 10%, then a nation, you know, should be able to run on 10% as well. But that's beside the point. But regardless of what percentage it is, you know, we wouldn't have to worry and get nervous every April. My poor grandfather had a birthday around tax day. I mean, how could he actually enjoy your birthday around that month? It would be so simple and so easy. But instead, we have the volumes and volumes and volumes of literature describing various rules and regulations that we have to follow. Jesus here is basically taking what would be equivalent to our tax code and whittling it down to a simple percentage. An easier, but at the same time, very hard thing to follow. That would be the difference between the analogy and what Jesus is doing here. The volumes of rules made it much more easier, or much easier for the people of the day to take a vow or not keep it. Whereas how Jesus streamlines it, narrows it down, whittles it down, makes it that much more difficult. And as he goes through then these examples that he gives, he starts off, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool." Those things reference the Isaiah 66 passage that we read that began with those verses of heaven being the throne of God and earth being his footstool. Then he goes on and says, "Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." And Psalm 48 that we just sang before the service speaks about Jerusalem as the city of the great king. And what he's doing in these three examples, as the people of the day would say, well, if you swear by these, you're not kept to it because you haven't used the name of God. He's pointing out how kind of ridiculous it is because God made all these things. He's established all these things. You can't vow to the temple or you can't vow to heaven, which God has made, and not associate God there. He's there. He has created everything. And he has created the earth. It is his footstool. And Jerusalem is the very city of the great king. And then the last example that he gives, "And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." Now, actually, there were some in the early church that would interpret this verse and say that, you know, as people aged, they weren't allowed to dye their hair because that was making one hair white or black. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about hair dye. He's talking about the very control at the molecular level of what your hair color is. You know, someone may dye their hair, but at the very molecular level of it, it is still the original color. It doesn't change that. And we can't change that, no matter how hard we may try. God is the only one who can decree whose hair color will be what color. And what Jesus is doing here is he is juxtapositioning God's sovereignty. He's comparing God's sovereignty with our impotence. We have no power. We have no ability. So God is the great sovereign king. He has made heaven and earth. And when vows or oaths are made to those things, it's not a lesser vow or a lesser oath, because God is intimately connected with his creation because he is the creator of it. He is the sustainer of it. And without his sustaining power and hand and his control, all things would spin out of control and cease to exist. And so Jesus is saying that we do not need to take any extravagant vows or oaths. And why? Well, that takes us to our third point. For God witnesses every yes and no we utter. In the final verse, Jesus closes this teaching on oaths with saying, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." And some of you may have a different English translation that would end there, "comes from the evil one." It could be translated either way, and the meaning is really the same. But what does Jesus mean when he utters that phrase, anything more than a simple yes or no is from evil? Especially when we consider throughout the pages of the Old Testament, we have God himself making a vow or an oath upon himself, taking his own name. What does Jesus mean that these things are from evil? And also, just later in the Gospel of Matthew itself, in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus is before the Sanhedrin, we have there where they're bringing accusation and accusation against him. And in Matthew 26:63, we read, "But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, 'I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.'" They're placing Jesus Christ himself under an oath before the living God. And Jesus then replies, in verse 64, Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So Jesus himself was put under an oath, and he answered. So how do we then interpret what Jesus says, that these things beyond a yes or a no is from evil? Well, one way that we could take this, that I believe makes sense of the whole picture, is that the reason, as I pointed out in the opening illustration, why we have contracts, why we have these pages and pages that we have to sign and the oaths and the vows that we have to take, is because as a society, as a culture, we have become more and more corrupt. We don't keep our word. We become more and more, we become those who turn against our own word as a society. And so it is because of the evilness of a society, the growing wickedness and evilness of a society, that these things beyond a simple yes or no have to be done. And I think that is an appropriate way to take what Jesus is saying. That anything beyond a yes or a no is from evil. It is because the evilness of the society that these things have to be done. We could even consider that with God's vows that he makes. Now, it's not evil for him to do it, because of our own sinfulness, our own evilness, he makes a vow to affirm and make certain what he is saying. And a key difference between what Jesus is saying here about calling upon the Lord as witness officially in an extravagant vow or oath, but the difference between us doing that and God is simply that God's vow is based upon his own person and holiness and righteousness and justice. There is no one greater that he can appeal to, so he appeals to himself and who he is as holy and just and righteous in and of himself. Whereas we, when we appeal to God, the reason is We are fallible, and our word fails. And so to convince other people that what we're saying is true, we have to appeal to a higher power. Well, what Jesus is basically saying in these verses is this. That Jesus is saying in the strongest terms that those who follow him must speak the truth. This is from a gentleman named Leon Morris in his commentary on Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is saying in the strongest language that people who follow him, his disciples, must speak the truth. A simple yes or a simple no is all that is required to make an oath before the eyes of God. And why? Because he is the creator of heaven and earth. He is sovereign over all things. He is always present and he always hears. There is not one single word that has ever been uttered throughout history, not one single thought that has ever been produced that God has not heard. He hears everything. And so every time we say, yes, I will do that, in the eyes of God, that is an oath. Every time we say, no, we will not do that, in the eyes of God, that is an oath. Just as if we had invoked his name officially, just as if we had called upon something like the temple or heaven or earth. Just that simple yes or no is all that it takes. As Christians, we are to be characterized by our truthfulness and trustworthiness. People should be able to trust our words and that we will do or not do what we say we will do or we will not do. And so in closing, as we look at these verses, something that we all have to ask ourselves, myself included, I'm preaching to myself here as well, is that are we dependable? Ask ourselves that simple question. Are our words dependable? If they're not, we need to seek the Lord and ask his forgiveness. And by the grace of God, there is forgiveness. And we need to seek him and implore that. And if we have wronged a brother or sister, learning from a section just a few sections ago, then we need to go to that brother and sister and seek their forgiveness for when we haven't fulfilled what we have said we would do or would not do. And so, brothers and sisters, in closing, simply what Jesus is teaching here is that our yes and our no is our oath. As God hears and he witnesses every single word that we utter. And so let us then be those who are dependable. Let us be characterized as Christ's disciples, as those who tell the truth and are trustworthy. So that when people hear what we have to say, they trust it and do not question it. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do, Lord, thank you for these words, and we pray that there has no doubt been a time when we have all, myself included, broken this command and broken this teaching. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us when we have fallen short. And we pray, Lord, that we would be characterized as people whose word is dependable, whose word is trustworthy, characterized by those that a simple yes or no is all that is needed. And we pray, Father, that we would honor and glorify you in this, that not glorifying ourselves, but that you, Lord, would be glorified and your name magnified in the behavior of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.